الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، continue our readings in the chapter the author she mentioned حفظها الله تعالى. لا بأس بخروج المرأة لحاجتها. There is no problem for the woman to leave her home in order to take care of her needs. We have been reading this chapter and several of the last previous classes, and we have seen that from the issues that she's discussing here is the impermissibility of elections, and that from the reasons of that is calling the woman to leave out of her house. That the woman is allowed for her to leave out of her house, but that's only for the reasons that are legislative and lawful or permissible. And as for leaving out of the house for unnecessary reasons or for reasons that are not permissible, for example, she's mentioning like to vote and to cast ballots and to perform and to participate in elections, for example, then this is not allowed or permissible, and this is not intended in this discussion. Rather, this is something that is forbidden. And then the author, she went on to mention several ills and great violations with regards to the issue of voting and elections. And we continue reading in these points that she had mentioned about the ills and the clarification of the impermissibility of elections. And she says, number 9, فِيهَا تَسْوِيَةُ الْمَرْأَةِ بِالرِّجَالِ والله عز وجل يقول وليس الذكر كالأنثى ويقول سبحانه في من جعل له الإناث ولهم الذكور تلك إذن قسمة ضيزى. She mentions the 9th point, clarifying the falsehood and the impermissibility and the ills of elections, that in these elections there is making the woman equal to the men. There is an attempt to make the woman equal to the men. And Allah, the Most High, He says, وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى, and the male is not like the female. And the male is not like the female. And the Most High, He said, سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى, likewise, with regards to those who had ascribed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala daughters and ascribed for themselves sons, that indeed this is an unjust, a great and unjust division, and that they have mentioned. And this was the way of the pagans in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ascribing daughters to Allah azza wa jal, why they themselves considered it to be blameworthy and a shame to have daughters, yet and they ascribe for themselves sons. So the point is to clarify the issue that the male is not equal to the female. They are not the same. And this is something that Allah azza wa jal, He has clarified, and He is the creator of the male and the female, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And some benefits with regards to this have preceded that the legislation has come with adil, not with musawat, has come with adil, with justice between the two sexes, and not with equality or making them having the exact same rights because they are different. Because they are different. So there's justice in these affairs. The origin is that which is incumbent upon the male is likewise incumbent upon the female. And that which is forbidden for the male also is forbidden for the female. But there are specific aspects of the legislation which are considered for the male only, and other aspects that are directed to the female only. And this is because of the difference between the two. So the legislation has come with justice and not with equality in these affairs. So in any case, in voting and elections, there is an attempt here to make the woman equal to the man. And Allah, He clearly mentioned in His book, وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى, and the male is not like the female. Number 10, she says, يُجِبُونَ عَلَى الْمَرْأَةِ أَن تَخْرُجَ لِتَنْتَخِبَهِ, that they require for the woman to go out of her house in order to vote. They require for the woman to go out of her house in order to vote. Here she mentions a footnote and underneath this point here, and she says that انتخابات تبيح للمرأة أن تكون رئيسة أو وزيرة أو نحو ذلك من المسؤوليات من المسؤوليات التي لا تكون إلا للرجال وهذا محرم في شرعنا. So she says that these elections and casting votes, they they deem it to be permissible for the woman to be a president or to be a minister or the likes from these great responsibilities that are not suitable except for the men. And this is haram and forbidden in our legislation. وَهَذَا مُحَرَّمٌ فِي شَرْعِنَا. And this is forbidden, impermissible in our legislation and in the legislation of Al-Islam that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She mentions the evidence for this. حَفِظَهَا اللَّهُ. She says, فَفِي صَحِيحِ الْبُخَارِي مِنْ حَدِيثِ أَبِي بَقْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنُّهُ قَالَ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam لَنْ يُفْلِحَ قَوْمٌ وَلَّوْ أَمْرَهُمْ امْرَأَةٌ. And she mentions as an evidence for this, that which is collected in Sahih al-Bukhari from the hadith of Abu Bakrata radiyallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لَنْ يُفْلِحَ قَوْمٌ وَلَّوْ أَمْرَهُمْ امْرَأَةٌ, that a people will never be successful. They will never prosper, those who put a woman in charge of their affairs. Those who put a woman in charge of their affairs, and in granting her the authority and command over the society and these offices that are only specific for the men. And these offices that are only specific for the men, whenever there is a general type of authority over others, this is for the men, like the president or the minister. And we have seen as well, Sheikh Fawzan, he has mentioned, we discussed in previous classes, being the president or the head or the dean of a school and the likes like this. This is not allowed for a woman to take that position. This is not allowed for a woman to take that position. She can have positions of authority over individuals while she has an overseer, any from a male like a teacher in a classroom. But as for being the administrator of the entire school, this is not lawful. So if that's the case, then no doubt she cannot be a president. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said it clearly, لَنْ يُفْلِحَ قَوْمٌ وَلَّوْ أَمْرَهُمْ امْرَأَةٌ, that those people who put a woman in charge of their affairs, giving her the authority over them, they will never prosper nor be successful. They'll never prosper nor be successful. So this is the case. And some people may say today that there are countries with women presidents or women in charge and authority, and they are successful. And this is no doubt a foul understanding, and this is a misunderstanding. And success does not lie in the worldly affair. And success does not lie in the worldly affair. Rather, success lies in the obedience of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and establishing the deen and having guidance and knowledge and light, and being upright and steadfast upon the obedience of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the likes of these people who make these statements, then they only understand this life from the physical aspect. يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ هُمْ غَافِلُونَ. The likes of these people, Allah, He mentioned about them, that they only know the physical life of this worldly life, that which is tangible in front of them, the material world, and they are heedless of the hereafter. So our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us that these people, they will never be successful. So therefore, this is also a clarification of the falsehood of elections, because it is giving the woman the permissibility to be a leader, to have authority, or so she can be the judge, or she can be the president, or she can be the dean, and the likes like this. And all of this is contrary to the legislation that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So she says, وَخُرُوجُ الْمَرْأَةِ رُبَّمَا يَتَرَتَّبُ عَلَيْهِ فِتْنَةٌ فَإِنَّ الْمَرْأَةَ مِنْ أَسْبَابِ الْفِتْنِ. And the fact that the woman leaves out of her home, this could possibly be a reason to bring about trials and tribulation, fitna, because the woman, she's from the means of trials and tribulations. And these issues here, many of them, we have discussed them in detail previously, alhamdulillah. We'll just continue reading now the chapter briefly and closing that what she has mentioned in this light. She says, فَفِي الصَّحِيحَيْنِ مِنْ حَدِيثِ أَبِي السَّعِيدٍ الْقُدْرِي رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عنه أنه قال خرج رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في أضحى أو فطر إلى المصلى، فمر على النساء فقال: يا معشر النساء تصدقنا فإني أريتكن أكثر أهل النار. And she mentions now the narration which is in As-Sahihain from the Haditha Abi Sa'id Al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came out in the Eid day, either it was in Eid al-Adha or in Eid al-Fitr. I mean, there's a doubt here. He came out to the Musalla sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the place of prayer, and he passed by the women. And he said, O group of women, O you assembly of women, you should give charity. You must give charity to Sadaqna. This is an order for a Sadaqah. O you assembly of women, you must give Sadaqah, the voluntary charity. فَإِنِّي أُرِيتُكُنَّ أَكْثَرَ أَهْلِ النَّارِ, because it was shown to me, or I was informed, that you are the majority of the people of the hellfire. So here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's directly addressing the noble companions, the noble female companions, radiyallahu anhunna. But what he's referring to here is not them specifically, but rather the female in general. That the female, that the majority of the people of the hellfire are females. فَقُلْنَا وَبِمَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At this time, those women attending, after hearing this, they asked, and what was the reason for this, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Asking here to gain knowledge and to understand what is the reason for the majority of the hellfire to be from women, and what caused those women to enter the hellfire, in order to know these affairs, to strive to avoid them. In order to know these affairs, to strive to avoid them. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم تكثرنا اللعنة وتكفرنا العشير, because you curse often, cursing the people often, and calling them names and cursing them and the likes, calling them bad names, cursing them in their face, cursing this and cursing that, and you are ungrateful to your husbands, and you are ungrateful to your husbands. ما رأيت من ناقصات عقل ودين أذهب للب الرجل الحازم من إحداكن. He said sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I have not seen anyone more deficient in intelligence and religion than you. A cautious, sensible man could be led astray by some of you. Could be led astray by some of you. Meaning that the woman is a great trial many times for men. And many men there are tried by women. And possibly a man, he could be very firm and have strong resolution and firm mind and think before he acts and speaks. And then he could easily be affected by a woman that it's as if he loses his mind and he starts to act a fool, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, because of the effects of the trials of the woman. So at this time they mentioned, قُلْنَا, they said, any of those women, radiyallahu anhunna, وَمَا نُقْصَانُ دِينِنَا وَعَقْلِنَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ, and what is the deficiency in our religion and in our minds, O Messenger of Allah, or in our intelligence, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Qala, alaysa shahadatu al-mar'ati mithla nisfi shahadati rajul? Is not the testimony of a woman like that of half of the testimony of a man? Qulna balash, they said, of course. Qala, fadhalika min nuqsani aqliha, he said, this is from the deficiency in her intelligence. But this is not finding fault with them, meaning that not the intelligence that is considered the opposite of that is junoon, that they're crazy, but rather here, what is intended is that whenever she testifies, if she testifies from the affairs of the worldly life, her testimony is that of half of a man. So for a woman to testify in the affairs of wealth or the worldly issues in front of a judge, she must have with her another woman for her testimony. There must be two women. And this is established in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. In the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. So from this aspect, this is a deficiency in comparison to the man. Alaysa idha, and then he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, alaysa idha habat lam tusalli wa lam tasum, and also if she has her menses, is it that she does not pray nor does she fast? Qulna bala, so those women, they said, of course. Qala fadhaliki min nuqsani diniha, فَذَلِكِ مِن نُقْصَانِ دِينِهَا. And the other one, فَذَلِكِ مِن نُقْصَانِ أَقْلِهَا. And here, فَذَلِكِ مِن نُقْصَانِ دِينِهَا. So therefore, this is the deficiency in her religion. So there are sometimes deficiencies that people are held accountable for and that are considered blameworthy, and other times there are some things that are considered a type of deficiency that one is not held accountable, nor is he blameworthy for. So this is not blameworthy, because it's from the legislation that if a woman is on her menses, she will refrain from praying and refrain from fasting. But in comparison to the man, he's more complete in this aspect, because he does not have to stop praying nor to refrain from fasting. Rather, he will pray daily throughout the month, and likewise, he will fast the entire month, unless there's another type of excuse. So in comparison here, there's a deficiency and a weakness. And this is a warning for the man not to be tried by the woman. The author, she's going to mention this narration again in a specific chapter. And inshallah, we will discuss some great benefits the people of knowledge, they mention with regards to this narration and some of the details whenever that comes. As for now, we read for the point that the author, she's trying to make. حفظه الله تعالى. So she says, now وفي صحيح مسلم من حديث أسامة بن زيد رضي الله عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال ما تركت بعدي فتنة هي أضر على الرجال من النساء. And also in صحيح مسلم, from the hadith of أسامة بن زيد رضي الله عنهما, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, I have not left a trial after me more harmful upon the men than women. I have not left a trial after me. I have not left behind a trial and tribulation after me more harmful on the men than the women. And he clarifying again the point of mentioning these affairs, that the women, many times they're trials for men. And so the fact that the woman, she leaves her home, especially unnecessarily, especially in a manner that's not legislative nor permissible, then she's a great trial and a means of misguidance and problems for the society in general, and for the men specifically. So she says, وَلَسْنَا نَمْنَعُ خُرُوجَ الْمَرْأَةِ مِنْ بَيْتِهَا لِحَاجَتِهَا فَإِنَّ الشَّرْعَ قَدْ أَبَاحَ لَهَا الْخُرُوجَ لِحَاجَتِهَا. And we do not forbid the woman, so that you should not misunderstand. We're not forbidding the woman from leaving her house to take care of her needs, because indeed the legislation has allowed for the woman to leave her home to take care of her needs. قال الله تعالى في شأن ابنتي الرجل الصالح. Allah, he mentioned the Most High about the issue of those two daughters, about the issue of the two daughters of that righteous man. And in reference to the story of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And she mentions the verse, a portion of that. وَوَجَدَ مِن دُونِهِمْ امْرَأَتَيْنِ تَذُودَانِ قَالَ مَا خَطْبُكُمَا قَالَتَا لَا نَسْقِي حَتَّى يُسْدِرَ الرِّيَاءِ وَأَبُوْنَا شَيْخٌ كَبِيرٌ. She mentioned the verse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, that he found at the watering well two women, and they were refraining from watering their flock, holding their flock back. And then Musa, he asked them, what was their fear? Why are they there? And they mentioned that they're not able to water their flock until the shepherds, they first water theirs. And they mentioned that the reason why they were out doing this is because their father is an old man. So she says, وَكَانَ هُنَكَ نِسْوَةٌ يَأْتِينَ إِلَى النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَسْأَلْنَهُ عَنْ أُمُورِ دِينِهِنْ. And there were women who would come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asking him about the affairs of their religion. All of this here is evidence, is clarifying the permissibility of the woman to come out of her house whenever there's a need, so long as she does that in a manner that is legislated and according to that which is pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jalla, not in according to desires, whims, or customs and cultures that are contrary. So even here in the book of Allah, this verse, those two women, they mention the excuse why they're the ones out watering the flock and a man is not. They say, وَأَبُونَا شَيْخٌ كَبِيرٌ. And our father, he's an old man. And had he not been an old man, or had there been someone else to take his place, we would not be out here. This is our excuse for coming to the watering, coming to this place to water the flock, to water the flock. Likewise here, she says that the women that used to come to the Prophet sometimes, there were women who would come to the Prophet sometimes, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to ask him about the affairs of their religion. وَرَأَى النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ أَسْمَاءَ وَهِيَ رَاجِعَةٌ مِنَ الْمَكَانِ الَّذِي تَعْلَفُ مِنْهُ لِفَارَسِ الزُّبَيْرِ فَلَمْ يُنْكِرْ عَلَيْهَا. And the Prophet صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ, he saw Asma, and he meaning Asma bint Abi Bakr radiallahu anhuma, while she's returning back from the place that she feeds the horse of Az-Zubayr radiallahu anhu, her husband. And the Prophet صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ did not reprimand her. And he meaning that it's lawful for her to go take care of this affair because of a need that she had. وَكَانَ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ إِذَا أَرَادَ سَفَرًا أَقْرَعَ بَيْنَ نِسَائِهِ فَأَيَّتُهُنَّ خَرَجَ سَهْمُهَا خَرَجَتْ مَعَهُ وَغَيْرُ ذَلِكَ كَثِيرٌ. And the Prophet صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ, whenever he would intend to travel, he would draw lots between his wives. And whichever lot was selected, then she would come along with him on the journey, and the likes like this. Any meaning, again, the clarification that sometimes even the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they would leave their home for needs. They would leave their home for needs. But she clarifies now. وَلَكِنَّ مَحَلَّ إِبَاحَةِ الْخُرُوجِ لِلْمَرْأَةِ وَلَكِنَّ مَحَلَّ إِبَاحَةِ الْخُرُوجِ لِلْمَرْأَةِ إِذَا آمِنَتِ الْفِتْنَةِ وَلَمْ يُكُنْ هُنَاكَ مَفْسَدَةٌ تَتَرَتَّبُ عَلَى خُرُوجِهَا. But the place for the permissibility of the woman to leave her house is if in doing that there is safety from causing fitna or trials, or that there is not something that's not going to be a harm present from her leaving her home. So if she leaves her home, then, and she's safe from fitna herself and safe from being a fitna for others also in doing this, this is not going to bring about a harm, then it's allowed for her to leave. وَمَا مِنْ شَكٍ أَنَّ هَذَا يَحْسُرُ عِنْدَ خُرُوجِهَا للانتخابات. And there's no doubt that this will happen, and if this fitna will occur, or this problem, or these ills and these issues that are blameworthy will occur whenever she leaves her home to cast her votes. And again, to clarify that this is not a reason making it permissible to leave the home. So it's lawful for her to leave her home, but there are conditions for that. And alhamdulillah, we have discussed many of them previously. She says, شُبْهَةٌ وَالرَّدُّ عَلَيْهَا. She says, now a doubt or misconception and the refutation of that. قَالَ قَائِلُهُمْ إِنَّنَا إِذَا لَمْ نَنْتَقِبَ الرَّجُلَ الصَّالِحَ يَأْتِي الشُّيُوعِ وَيَثِبُ عَلَى السُّلْطَةِ. The doubt is that some of them say that if we do not vote for the righteous man, then a communist is going to come and he's going to jump on the authority and he jump on that position and he claiming this affair. And if we do not vote for the one that we deem to be righteous, then another man, he's going to get it who's wicked and evil. So she says, وَالْجَوَابَ أَنَّنَا لَسْنَا مُفَوَّضِينَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ. She says that the response to this is that we are not in charge or have authority over in the religion of Allah. قال الله تعالى ليس لك من الأمر شيء. Allah the Most High, He said, and this is directed to the Prophet directly, صلى الله عليه وسلم, you have no say in the affair. ليس لك من الأمر شيء. You have no say in the affair, صلى الله عليه وسلم. So she says, وينبغي لنا أن نتخذ من واقعنا تجارب. فماذا عملت لنا المجالس المحلية واللجنة الدائمة تقوم بنت السوس سوا والحضرانية وأصحاب الفضيلة يهزون رؤوسهم وهي تخطب فما عملت لنا هذه اللجنات وماذا عملت لنا هذه الانتخابات فإنهم قد فعلوها ولم يتحقق من نصرة دين الله شيء. وَلَمْ يَتَحَقَّقْ مِنْ نُسْرَةِ دِينِ اللَّهِ شَيْءٌ. So she says it's incumbent for us to take a lesson from our previous experience. And it's incumbent for us to take a lesson from the experiences that we have seen from previous events. And that is whenever these government bodies, they had been selected, and then a woman from them comes and she speaks and she talks, and then the people, the men, they're all moving their head at her speech, and you're referring to these government offices that are set in place in her land specifically. These government offices that were set in place, and the likes and the people that are there and the politicians that had been placed in authority, and they allowed a woman here to come and to speak, and then she's giving them a sermon, talking in front of all of them, and they're just moving their heads, shaking their heads up and down and listening to their speech. فَمَاذَا عَمِلَتْ لَنَا هَذِهِ اللَّجَنَاتِ What did these boards of directors do for us? And what have they done for us? And this is the case. And what she's referring to here is in her land specifically, and with regards to the woman specifically, and the likes. But even in general, we see the same thing from the Khawarij and the Ikhwan Muslimun, claiming that they want to obtain the authority in these different Muslim lands, and they overthrow governments. And then whenever they get the authority, they do not do anything for Islam. They do not do anything for Islam. They do not establish the deen or the tawheed or the legislation that they claimed. That's why after that, people do the same thing to them, do the same thing to them that they did to those before them to get the authority. And then they complain whenever they are revolted against waliyadhu billah. So the point is, she's saying now that why, what have these elections done for us before? And we have went through this before. We have experienced this before. The people had set up elections. A woman, she was elected, or she has given office and the likes like this. And then they promised to establish the religion. And they did not establish anything from the aid of the religion of Allah. They did not do any of these affairs. It never was beneficial whatsoever. They vote and they vote. They vote for the one they deem to be righteous. And then in the end, come to find out, nothing is established from the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is the case. وفي هذا كفاية لطالب الحق والتارك للتعصب في أن يقنعه بتحريم الانتخابات في أن يقنعه بتحريم الانتخابات وهناك مؤلف للشيخ محمد بن عبد الله الإمام حفظه الله في تحريم الانتخابات. So what has been mentioned now is sufficient for the seeker of truth and the one who is leaving off stubborn blind following, that he should be sufficed and content with the impermissibility of elections. And there is a book which is authored by Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdullah al-Imam, may Allah preserve him, with regards to the impermissibility of elections. And he's referring back to this book to benefit. She says, وَقَدْ اطَّلَعْتُ عَلَى رِسَالَةٍ بِعُنْوَانْ شَرْعِيَةِ الْإِنْتِخَابَاتِ لِعَبْدُ الْمَجِيدِ الزِّنْدَانِ And she said, I have seen a book, and I have looked into a book, a treatise that has the title the legislation of elections, meaning the permissibility of that, by Abdul Majid Azindani. فَإِذَا فِيهَا كَلَامٌ هُرَاءٌ وَيَحْمِلُ الْأَدِلَّةَ مَا لَا تَتَحَمَّلُهُ وَلَكِنَّهُ الْهَوَى And in this book, in this treatise here that she's referring to, is just some foul and lowly statements. And he is trying to make the evidence, he's carrying the evidence in a manner that is not proper. But she says rather what it is desires. وَلَكِنَّ الْهَوَى Desires. يُعْمِي وَيُسِمْ The desires cause a person to go blind and deaf and dumb. أسأل الله لنا وله الهداية I ask Allah for us and for him guidance. And he meaning that this is from those misguided individuals, well known for their misguidance, وَلَيَذُ بِاللَّهِ Until the extent he wrote a book claiming that voting is legislative, even trying to clarify that using evidences from the book and the sunnah, وَلَيَذُ بِاللَّهِ So she says, وَمَنْ تَجَرَّعَ بَعْدَ اِتِلَاعِهِ عَلَى هَذِهِ الْأُمُورِ الْمُخَالَفَةَ لِلشَّرْعِ الَّتِي تَتَضَمَّنُهَا الانتخابات وقال بمشروعيتها فهذا منه مكابرة واتباع هوى And whoever is bold enough after now seeing these evidences that have proceeded from these affairs and then after that he's still bold enough to go and to after seeing these affairs which are a contradiction to the legislation that elections consist of and then he still tries to claim that is permissible or that elections are legislative, then this is just from him stubborn rebellion and following of desires. So if that's the case in the Muslim lands, even more rebellious and stubborn and even more worse in deep in following desires of voting for disbelievers and voting in the election process and the likes of these lands, this is misguidance, foolishness, and Allah knows best. After this, the author, she says, الحجاب وغض البصر. Now she mentions the issue of the hijab, the proper veil and covering for the woman whenever she leaves her home or is in the presence of someone who is not mahram, and the obligation likewise of lowering the gaze. So now she's going to mention several chapters that are directly related to the issue of leaving the house. So these are all, no doubt, different chapters now, but there are sub-chapters related to the issue of leaving the home. So although it's allowed for her to leave her home for these permissible needs, which has proceeded in the past previous classes, now there are also requirements that she must abide by. And from that is that she has the proper hijab. And from that is that also she lowers her gaze. And then after that, she has another chapter mentioning adabu khuruj al-mar'a, the manners and the etiquettes of the woman leaving her home. And then there are other issues here that she's mentioning likewise. And bi'ithnillahi ta'ala, we continue in the classes to come. Hada wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.